In Philippians 4:19, it says this: "My God will use his wonderful riches in Christ Jesus to give you everything you need." And that's the celebration this morning for us, isn't it? That God is our provider, and we acknowledge and respond to that this morning in this special service of Harvest Festival, which is an exciting time. But more than that physical provision, you know, the thing that we know as church family, God gives us each other. He gives provision to us in those people around us who support us. He gives us provision in our families and the family members who stand by us and love us through ever, whatever we're into. And today particularly, that we have that feeling in amongst us, you know, of a bit of hunger for that, because the guys, most of the fellas in the church, are off at the immense weekend down in Georgia. And it's a great thing to have a fellowship where we have this, where blokes actually go spend a weekend together and get very real about the challenges that they face. Because blokes, we don't like talking about things like that, but it happens, and it makes us strong as a church because we have those conversations. We're accountable to each other. So can we, before we start, just remember those guys down in Georgia and just pray for them. Father, I thank you that you have raised up a group of men in this church who seek you, who seek to serve you and seek to be open and honest with you. Father, I pray that you would bless that time, that they would find an openness, that they will be strong from this weekend. They will come back with a new sense of your vision and mission in their lives, that they will be on fire for you. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as well as the busyness of people being away, we have a busy week as church as well, which I just wanted to talk to you very quickly about. Lots and lots of important things going on this week. We have POP this week, Powerhouse of Prayer, on Tuesday night. It's really important. It's really, really important as a church that we spend time in prayer, particularly at this time, because there is so much that God is doing amongst us and things that are changing and moving. We also have this week a church meeting, which is, I know it's the business and it can be a bit dull sometimes, business of church, but it's important that we honour God by running and operating this church, his church, with the right level of respect and care and attention to all the things that we have to do as church. So it's really important that you are there. So please, please come and support that, because we need to make decisions as a church about where God is leading us. We need to discern that, and it's important that you are, as a member of the church, a part of it. And then next Saturday, we are, as you will know, we're interviewing a prospective pastor, Matt, for the role of pastor of this church, and in the afternoon, so that the membership have got an opportunity just to have a few moments to chat with Matt and Liz about things and just ask some informal questions and just get to know them a bit more. We've got an opportunity to do that down the chapel from 1. So please, again, come down and just be a part of church family, doing church family stuff, because it's an exciting time for us. And we're really trying to seek what God is really calling. We don't want just to do things well. We want God's very best, that we will be his church. And we will be on fire for him and this community. And we will never be the same again because of that thing. But anyway, thank you for that. But this morning, as we focus on harvest, there is a theme, as you know, being going through the teaching series in this church on prayer. And last weekend, there was the teaching on the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And that's the what we're going to start with this morning. And I think it's going to come up on the overhead, hopefully. Here we go. So let's just, as we commence, share the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Yeah, Lord, our prayer is that today we have your bread, that bread of very bread of life, that we would know that and we would leave this place changed because of our encounter with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, the man.
And let me trust in your promises. Come and deliver me and all the things that are in the Lord's Prayer. Come. And that's our response to him. He wants us to ask. He teaches us to ask. He teaches us to come to him and to ask him for the things that we need and that will bless us and will do us good. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Because what we've got is so priceless, we need to go. We need to go and share it. We need to go and bring the things of the kingdom to the world around us, to the people next door, and to the people further afield. So today we're thinking about bread. How does that fit in with what I've just said? But the same three words are true. He calls us to come to him for everything we need. And in that prayer, he teaches us to say, come, give us this day our daily bread. So we have to receive all that he has for us. And today we're going to taste and see that the Lord is good, actually by tasting the bread that is so provided for us by God each day. So I'm sure we all love a bit of bread. Who's had bread already today? Hands up if you've had some bread. Hands up if it was toasted. Okay, and all together, could you shout out what you put on your bread? Bacon and egg to marmalade. Some good Marmite. Lovely. Love it or hate it. So lots of lovely things that we've had. And later on, we're going to be having some more. I hope you got to have a chance to have a look on the way in. So who was here last week? What a treat we had, didn't we, with Helen coming and talking to us about the Lord's Prayer. It was such a blessing. She taught us so much, and I was so excited as she began, she stood up last week, because we'd already planned for this service to be entitled, Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. We wanted to focus on that one line, which Helen taught us was right at the heart, symmetrically speaking and in so many other ways of that prayer. And I just want to use this opportunity to recommend to those of you that haven't done it before to listen again if you weren't here. So who wasn't here last week? Who wasn't able to hear that amazing sermon on the Lord's Prayer? And also who uses the listen again part of the website? Well, I have an app called Podcast Addict. And I use it all the time because I can just pop it on in the car on the way to and from work. And it means I can catch up. And it's blessed me so much. Last week in the evening service, because I listened again, I wasn't able to be there, I heard prayers for my niece. So it's such a blessing when we connect, if that suits you. So it's just a little plug for the Listen Again team. And I don't know if we've got what it looks like on the website. So if you haven't done it before, have a go at going on the website. You can click on a sermon or a service and you can listen again. And it can be a real blessing. And I also just want to mention that that small part of a much wider sound and vision team, the podcast, us. And the three podcasters are Dave Goodyear, Malcolm Bennett and John Staniforth. So I'm just going to pray a little prayer for them because they've brought us a ministry that's really powerful for people who can't get out, people who've missed a sermon and want to just check in and catch up with what God's doing in our families. So let's just pray for them. Lord, we thank you for the podcast team. We thank you for this ministry which reaches out beyond these four walls. We pray your blessing on it and your blessing on those three. Amen. So today we're going to celebrate and thank God for bread in particular. Later on, we're going to be gathering your gifts for the food bank. So if you're wondering why you've still got them, they are in hand. We're going to have fun just giving something back to our community. But also, we want to reach out beyond and think about what bread means to those living in other parts of the world, hence breads from around the world. But we've also been looking at some resources from Christian Aid. We're going to see a video from them. because we want as well to be able to give beyond. And their main aim is to end world poverty. So we've got the opportunity to give them to them today as well, because a quarter of the offering plate collection is to go to Christian Aid this week. So there's loads of varieties of bread, and it's a staple food. We use the word in language to mean money. Words bread and dough and breadwinner, meaning the person who might be or people bringing money in to feed the family. This line in that prayer is the only one that is just about basic physical needs, but as well, when we look at the whole of Scripture, we think about everything that God gives us too. In a recent daily devotion, when I was doing a bit of research, and one popped up called Give Us Our Daily Bread, so I thought it might be useful to read it. It talks about a time after the Korean War in South Korea when there was a bit of a problem happening with some of the aid workers. They discovered that in the orphanages, the children were fed at that time really well. They were having three good meals, but they were having real problems at night, real problems going to sleep. And they discovered in talking to the children that they were really anxious about food for the next day. Because of what they'd been through, they found it difficult to trust that there would be those three meals. So what some of the workers chose to do was actually put a small piece of bread. They made tiny little loaves, and each child had a handful of bread to go to sleep with overnight, not designed to be eaten, but just to hold on to and to help them to know that they were going to be provided for, they were going to be fed, and from that, it's like a security blanket. That calmed their anxieties and it helped them to sleep. So likewise, we take comfort, don't we, in knowing that our physical needs are met, that we do have food, bread for our needs. So give us this day our daily bread. Teach us to come to God daily with our needs, to trust in him. The Bible makes it clear that our Heavenly Father loves us and will provide. So can I just ask you a minute to close your eyes and to open your hands in a position of receiving? So as we hold out our hands, we're going to say those words together from the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And as you receive the truth of God's love, his provision for each day, may you draw close to him, calling his kingdom power into your daily lives, so that in turn, you can go out and love on this town and love on the world in Jesus' name. Come, he says. Come to me. Come, we say. Come, be Lord of my life. Come, be with me. Come, Holy Spirit. And so we go. Lord, help us to go. Amen. We're now going to see what the Bible says about bread. I say we are. This is where it comes down to you. I'm going to ask Jemima to do my microphone because I'm so lazy. So, we've got lots of Bibles around the room that we brought. Some of you have got a lot of the Bible here. And I love to use a lot of that bit of the Bible. And some of you have got devices and some of you have got a paper Bible. And what we want to do is just have a big, open Bible study of what does the Bible say about bread. A verse that includes bread, a story that's got bread. It might not be that the bread is the main part. We're just going to have a bit of fun looking at where Bible is mentioned. Bread is mentioned in Bible. But this is also the heads up to anyone who volunteered to do some cutting to just go and check that all the breads are cut up. And just remember that one table is entirely gluten-free. So if that one just has a knife that doesn't move between the other tables. So those who volunteered to cut bread, that'd be great if that's done. It's all done. Fab. So over to you. So Caroline has got one mic. Jemima's got another. Pop your hand up if you can think of a reference to bread. You don't have to know the chapter and verse. So Jemima, do you want to see if you can be first? Beat Caroline to the...
When Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me will never go hungry, and He who believes in me will never be thirsty.
Oh, let's just let those words sink in. It's wonderful. Thank you, Paul. Keep going. Any more? And so you don't need to know where it comes from, or you could just tell us you remember a story. Plus, there's loads of picture Bibles. Be interested to see if you could find any pictures of bread in the picture Bibles. And that's not just for the kids. They're on the sides. Anyone?
Feeding the 5,000.
Awesome. Thank you. Got one over here at the back.
I'm not too sure about this, but Jesus said, I think Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven that comes down.
So, when we've got one like that, thank you very much, Elaine, because perhaps some of those who are really good with chapter and verse or have got a device could see if they could find that one and come back to us. Thank you, Elaine. We'll see if we can... Does anyone else know where that one is or if that is a verse from the Bible or whether it's perhaps something you've... Yeah, Jonathan, of course. Over here?
Me and Sean have been reading about the Israelites wandering in the desert and God bringing them bread from heaven. Manna, haven't we, Sean?
Lovely. I'm glad that one's... Because it came daily, didn't it, as well? And they couldn't hang on to it. It would go off. They had to keep coming to God. And I think we've forgotten that a little bit, haven't we? To come to God daily. And keep saying, give me everything I need, Lord. There's the one down here.
John and I are looking at the story of when Jesus went to see Mary and Martha. And it says that Martha was far too busy cooking to listen.
She could. She probably was, because it was quite a staple food, wasn't it? So Martha chose to prepare food. Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. Where would you rather be?
Got a picture here of Jesus and the Last Supper.
Yeah, and thank you, Sally. So it's right at the heart of everything, isn't it? As we do as Jesus taught us and break bread and remember what he did for us. Caroline?
Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we need to keep coming to him, don't we? Come on then, have we got one here? Should we go back to Caroline or?
When he was tested in the desert with the bread.
Yes. Yes. Satan said, come and eat this bread. You must be hungry, pretty much, did he? Can you remind me? Can't remember exactly what it said, that one. So, turn these stones into bread. Thank you, Hannah. Yes. And he would have been a bit hungry. Caroline?
So I've been cheating a bit because I've got a device, but the bread from heaven verse is John 6:51, and that's, I am living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world.
Oh, can we have that one again? Because that feels like it's coming new. You know when you hear something in the Bible and you think, I don't think I've ever come across that, so thank you, Elaine. Can we have that one again?
So that's, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world.
Wonderful. Where was it again?
John 6:51.
Thank you. I think I'm supposed to stay back here. I don't know. Any more? Yes?
2 Corinthians 9:10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness.
Oh, that's perfect verse for today, isn't it? And that's what we need to do, isn't it? Is have him sowing that seed and reap the harvest. Yes, over here. Tony's got one. Who's quite come on, sitting and beat Caroline?
Jesus said, man cannot live on bread alone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And over here.
This one is in Leviticus 24, and it's about olive oil and bread set before the Lord. And it says, take the finest flour and bake 12 loaves of bread using 2/10 of an ephah for each loaf. And it goes and talks about how you stack them and how you present them before the Lord.
A recipe! Yay! And there's lots of recipes in the Bible, aren't there, for how to... We've got some over here to bring glory to God.
Exodus 16:23, he said to them, here is what the Lord commanded. He said, tomorrow will be a day of rest, a it will be a holy Sabbath day. It will be set apart for the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil, and save what is left. Keep it until morning.
Thank you. And that reminds us to just have that time of rest, doesn't it, as well? Thank you.
I've got another one here, Rachel.
Yep.
This is for behalf of Charlotte. So Jesus took some bread, thanked God for it, and broke it in pieces for them all to share. This is my body, given for you, he said.
Thank you.
I've got one here. Genesis 18. Abraham ran back to the tent and said to Sarah, hurry, get a large measure of your best flour, knead it into dough and bake some bread. So it just shows, it's at the centre, they've got these visitors, which actually are angels, aren't they?
Brilliant.
I don't know whether it's Moses or Elijah, but one day one of them was under the shade of a tree and God sent down a bird which was carrying meat and bread.
Awesome. What a mind. Well remembered. So who can tell us who that was? Elijah. Yeah.
From Proverbs, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread.
Oh, yeah. From Proverbs. Brilliant. I've got to say, one of my favourites, if I've missed it, then I'm really embarrassed. The one, I think it's Elijah again, where he goes and there's a lady baking her last loaf with her son. And is it Elijah? And he says, the Lord says, go and get jars. And is that the same story? I'm mixing a lot of stories.
That's the oil.
Yeah, the oil. Isn't she about to bake her last loaf? You can check me out and chuck me out the church later. Right. Oh, let's get tasting bread. So, here's how it's going to work. We've got so many wonderful gifts of bread this morning that we've now got, I think, 14. So you've got pieces of paper per row, so you're going to have to get together with some people. There's some pencils in a box on the radiator at the back, so someone could perhaps get those. And here's how it works. Have a little taste. There's about, I'm guessing, how many of us do you reckon, Caroline? I hope you did a full count. There's a lot of people, so you might not get to taste everything. But have a go at guessing. Who made it? That's baker or brand. Okay, so who made it? What it is, like the name of that bread, and where it's from in the world. Okay? And then probably the other rule is share. Okay, go for it. Okay, so did anyone get to taste everything? Okay, that means we shared. If you didn't get to taste everything, you gave up an opportunity to someone else. So that's lovely. And I'm sorry I didn't say, but people did it, which is to see that people who couldn't get around the tables got some bread. So thank you. That's family, isn't it? When I missed my bit, you just did that. I've not got a little table, but it's basically name the bread, maker or baker, brand or baker, and place, isn't it? So number one. Does anyone know what type of bread one was? We haven't got the mics and runners, so perhaps we should shout out. So Carly's just showing you where that bread was, in case you didn't like write it all. Yeah, you can grab the mics, but we might... Yeah, you and Tim, just run around. Anyone who's got a hand up who thinks they know what one is. No, it's ciabatta. So number one was a ciabatta. So yeah, they'll be on. Just go and run around and look for hands in a minute. So the ciabatta... Does anyone know whether it was, tell me the maker or brand? Baker or brand, sorry. Okay, was it bought or made? It was bought. Right, I'm just going to tell you the answers. No, no. That one was, I can't tell you because the packets are at the back and I've forgotten. I bought it at Tesco, but it was a particular brand. So, Italy. Number two. Also gluten-free. Anyone know what type of bread? It was actually a flatbread, but naan's pretty close because it was actually a flatbread that has yeast in it. Apparently, flatbread isn't just yeast-free. There are yeasted versions. So that was a yeasted flatbread, and it was flavoured with onion and herb, and it was Tesco free from. Number three, also gluten-free. Carly's demonstrating at the back. So any ideas what type of bread that was? And there's people with their hands up. You go and stay out amongst the people. Paul Hollywood? No, it wasn't.
Was it gluten-free genius?
Ooh, the brands are in the packets at the back. It was gluten-free. It was brioche. And the brand? Did you get it? Schlar. Ah. Okay, that word that Caroline said. Sorry, organised, aren't we? Number four. Okay, Carly's holding it. Anyone know what type of bread? Oh, sorry, the country for brioche.
France.
Okay. Four. Yay, it was sourdough. I'm really pleased that gluten-free bread can taste like all the different types that it should taste like, so that's really good. So sourdough, actually, I thought Ireland, and then I looked it up, and actually sourdough likely comes from an origin in the Fertile Crescent, so that's quite relevant, you know, where Jesus lived. And bread production relied on the use of sourdough as a leavening agent for most of human history. The use of baker's yeast, I didn't know this, the use of baker's yeast as a leavening agent dates back less than 150 years. Who knew? Yes, get on with it. Right, next one. Holly, shout it out. Yes, it had olives and a herb. Basil. Anyone know who baked it? He's in our house group. It's a man. He's won a competition baking things. Steve Backrack. Okay, that was number five. Olive and basil makes me think which country? Maybe Italy, yeah. Number six. Carly's holding it up. There's a tiny... Oh. Is that number six? It was at the very back on the left-hand table, and it was square to start with. Polenta? Cornbread, yes, which I don't know if those are similar, but cornbread it is. Who baked it? Someone in our fellowship who... Yes, it was Rachel Middleton. And cornbread is from where? Let's go over to Rachel to find out a bit more. Rachel, find the baker, and then you'll find out a bit more. Oh! Come on, hop up. Let's find out a little bit more about cornbread and what it means, what it is.
Thank you, Tim. What country?
America.
United States of America. United States of America. Thank you, Josh, for your precision. Native Americans have been using corn to make bread for thousands of years. And it was especially popular during the U.S. Civil War as it was cheaper than wheat to use as an ingredient, and it can be made in many forms like risen and fluffy or flatbread or fried or whatever. And now it's particularly prevalent in the southern states and the southwest states of America, where sometimes they crumble it into a glass of milk, leave it to soak and eat it with a spoon.
Oh, thank you. Number seven was also on that, and there's nothing left. Any idea who baked it? It was sesame seeds on top and a nice shiny normal white bread. Shall we find out from the baker? Any ideas who might have baked it? Daisy. So can we take the mic over to Daisy to find out a bit more? Where is she? I can't see her. There we are, but almost at the back there. So Daisy perhaps can tell us about that number seven, or what she calls it.
It's called bread and bread. It's very popular in Colombia. It's a bit of sweet bread, similar to brioche. And bread in Colombia is a very important part of our diet.
Yeah.
And it's also associated with, it's a symbol of prosperity. For example, in New Year's Eve, it's a tradition to decorate the table with a big loaf of bread, grapes, wheat, and the seven grains to receive the new year.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Daisy. That's all gone. Very popular. Number eight. Well, what is it? I should probably start with what was number eight? Any ideas? I'm hearing cinnamon. Does have a special name. Any ideas who baked it? Well, there's a clue in the room, but there's not the person who baked it in the room. And here's the clue.
What's the clue?
So perhaps Sally can tell us who baked it and what it is.
Ojan baked it, so you'll guess it comes from the Netherlands. And they're called Zerissen Balzer. So you can say that as well. So they come from a part of the Netherlands called Zeeland, which is by the Zee, the sea. And they were started in the 17th century by Jewish bakers. So they are sold in various other parts of the world, including Jerusalem. And they have a competition once a year to get the best balls. So they're the balls a week. Can you imagine? Competition selling those. I think the children like them because they are a sweet pastry. And they are covered in brown sugar, as you probably guessed, cinnamon and lemon zest. And the Dutch eat them with coffee, and they put butter on the underside just to make it even more unhealthy.
Lovely. Thank you. Nine. No. Yes, nine. Any idea what it was? Or where from? Yes. So I made this one. It's pan de anise from Peru. And the flavouring... Yes, it's aniseed. Did anyone get that? Because when I was making it, it was so strong, I put a third of what I should have done in. And actually, you can hardly taste it. So I've learned a lesson there. It's served with a meal or mid-morning coffee. It's my sister-in-law, who is Peruvian's favourite. And anise is a popular flavouring for desserts and sweetbreads in South America. Number 10. Was in a tin. Any ideas what it is? Yes, cinnamon bun or cinnabon from the US of A. And I baked that one. And it did have cinnamon in. 11. What was 11? Very dark coloured bread. Yes. So it's rye bread. Dark rye. Oh, do you want to say anything about it? So dark, Sharon bought the dark rye. Considered a staple through the Middle Ages, many different types of rye grain have come from northern, central, and western, and eastern Europe. And that's rye bread. And finally... Oh, sorry, yes, it is very popular in Germany, isn't it? Yeah. Finally, number 12. Little bit left, Carly's showing... A little bit closer to our...
I forget there's a 13 and 14.
Oh, yeah, 13 and 14, yeah. Yeah, thank you. I nearly forgot because I've only got the 12 listed. So a bit closer to pita bread. Yeah, it's actually a flatbread. And this is the one that is closest to, you know, the Exodus bread because it's got no yeast. It's a sort of proper flatbread. So thanks for bringing that. Makes us remember a bit more about that story where they had to bake in a hurry. Now we had a bonus breads, which was lovely this morning to have all these extras. 13 over this side. Carly's holding out 13. Yes. Oh, thank you. So over here, focaccia. Yes. So who baked this one? Is it you, Daisy? Yes, so Daisy baked us two breads this morning. Thank you, Daisy. Known and loved in Italy and abroad, it's a yeasted flatbread which belongs essentially to the northern Mediterranean. Thank you. Delicious. And 14. And this was baked for us by a friend. Andrea. Is this someone who's here? Oh, thank you. So... So if you run back to Andrea, would she be happy to just say the name of the bread? Oh, it's on here. Oh, thank you. Yes, okay. Any ideas what was in it or... Cheese? Okay, so it is pan de yuca, a traditional bread made with cassava, which is a root. Edouard André was a French naturalist who visited the New Granada, Colombia, in the mid-19th century in the valley of the Cauca River. Stopped short of Dagua, attracted by a wood oven in which some cornbread was being consumed as treats. The oven was in the El Bono farm and had become a mandatory stop for drovers, and that's why it's become so popular. So it's a cassava bread from Colombia. So who did quite well on that one? Well done, all of you. That's brilliant.
We thank you, God, for the apples that are falling and the colourful leaves of autumn. Thank you for this harvest time when we remember our farmers who grow our crops and produce all kinds of food for us to enjoy. We thank you for those who are farming in the wider world and for the different kinds of food we can enjoy from them. Help us to buy our food in ways that takes care of the land, the produce and the farmers. Thank you for the seasons, the sunshine, wind and rain. Thank you for the times when we can share food with our friends and family, for fun and our many freedoms. Thank you for your love, which is so deep and vast that we cannot understand it, but we are so grateful for it. Thank you for our daily bread. Amen.
Father God, we are sorry for the times when we have let you down. We do not come to you boasting about the things we have done, but because of your great love and mercy. We are sorry for the times when we take our food for granted and forget to be thankful. We are sorry for when we enjoy what we have but forgot those who have not. We are sorry for when we celebrate but forget to do something for those who do not have the freedom to celebrate. We are sorry for when we forget to buy extra shopping for the food bank. Forgive us for when we have been greedy, for when we want more than we need. For the times when we have stored up our own wealth rather than sharing with the poor. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today and celebrate harvest in peace and without fear of persecution. We can ask that you would help the leaders, that the world have wisdom about many conflicts that are occurring. We particularly lift you this morning with the families and children in Aleppo, and ask with all hearts, that the way forward could be found to the end, killing and conflict. We pray for those delivering aid and medical care in the country that you would go before them and protect them. We pray for those who work at the food banks across our country and that those who use the food banks will be touched by your love through the work that they do. Help us, Lord, to make better choices about the way that we use the food and the environment, and to remember all that the goodness is a gift from you to be shared. Amen.
Thanks. So I just want to talk for about 30 seconds about yeast. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through all the dough. And part of when we were preparing for this, we were thinking about yeast and how our relationship with God allows us to be like yeast. This is a packet of yeast, and that makes at least that loaf. That tiny bit of yeast makes that loaf. And that's what God says, is, that no matter who we are, no matter what our gifts are, no matter what we look like, through our relationship with God, we can be yeast to the people around us. We can show God's love to the people around us. We can have such an amazing effect on the world. And part of us being yeast is what we just did, was the food bank. I don't know about you, though. I haven't met any of the people that access the food bank. I'm really pleased that I can be yeast in that situation and donate to the food bank, but I haven't got a personal relationship with any of those people. So we just thought we'd come up with an idea of a way that you can do something a bit more personal. Over there, there are bags that look like this, and they're little packs for you to produce something like this. And it's got a gift label that Hope beautifully wrote out, and it just says a gift from. And we're just going to encourage you, if you want to, we've only made 20 because we're aware that people are really busy and you might not all be able to. But if you feel led, please help yourself to one of these little bags and you can take it home. You can make some bread for a friend or a neighbour or a teacher or whoever, just with as a gift. And it's just a sort of symbolic and practical way that we can be yeast to somebody, so they will know that we've been thinking about them and praying for them. Thanks.